Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Well, here we are. The church is decorated, a special candle lit. We begin singing and hearing songs of expectation. We share the Lord's Supper, and we will receive a special booklet of prayers for this season. And on this first Sunday of Advent, we begin yet another new preaching series entitled Attitude of Gratitude. Now, as many of you already know, Advent simply means coming. And during these 4 weeks of Advent, we will celebrate Christ's first coming into the world, his perpetual coming, and we will watch for his second coming. It is a season to celebrate what has already happened and what is yet to happen. Throughout Advent and into Christmas and Epiphany, we will be looking at what gratitude has to do with all of that. And having just come off the Thanksgiving holidays, we may still be feeling the effects, not just around our waistlines, but hopefully also around our hearts as we remember what we are grateful for. And as I look at all of you behind me and in front of me in the balcony, my sense and my own knowledge is that you are all thankful, grateful people. No question about that. You are good at expressing thanks and showing expressions of appreciation. Some of you, I expect, have had those moments when you have been so overcome with thankfulness, you wondered how you could possibly express your gratitude. Other times, I imagine, you have searched yourself and found it difficult to be grateful. Until I started studying, preparing for my message to you this morning, I thought I was a pretty thankful person. Like you, I thought I was pretty good at expressing thanks and showing appreciation. And like you, I had those profound moments in my life when I was so full of gratitude, I wondered how I could express it all. But I discovered that my gratitude was really kind of shallow and really dependent on what was happening around me, outside, and sometimes within me. But there is a silver lining to that disappointment in myself, because I discovered a deeper truth about gratitude. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. That's what I want you to take into these weeks of Advent and into Christmas and Epiphany and hopefully beyond. The truth about gratitude that comes from God's promises, especially God's promise to be with us always. The prophet Jeremiah in our first reading tells us of God's promise to send a Savior into the world to make all things right. That has been done. That is a work in progress, of course. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and it is where Jesus reveals God's promises for what is happening now and what is yet to come. I will be reading from the Message translation because of all the hundreds of translations, I find it to be the one that we can least likely sleep through. Luke 21, beginning with verse 25. It will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way. He told them a story. Look at a fig tree, any tree for that matter. When the leaves begin to show, one look tells you that summer is right around the corner. The same here. When you see these things happening, you know God's kingdom is about here. Don't brush this off. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My word won't wear out. But be on your guard, Jesus tells us. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, the day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap. For it's going to come on everyone, everywhere at once. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep. It's a switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and the wits to make it through everything that's coming and up on your feet before the Son of Man. So clearly there's a lot going on this time of year. Lots of dazzling lights, lots of choices for gifts, lots of shopping, lots of home decorating, lots of baking and wrapping and sending, lots of tree trimming, all kinds of preparation. But surrounded by all this, we are boldly urged by Jesus to keep our eyes on what's really important. Be on guard, he commands. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation be dulled by parties and drinking and shopping and whatever else you want to include in that list that that distracts you. Otherwise, that day, the day of God with us now and the day of his coming again, is going to take you by complete surprise. If our eyes and ears are not tuned to the promise of God, we will miss what's really happening. Shallow gratitude we can do in our sleep. Deep gratitude demands we wake up. It is God's promise that enables us to have our lives grounded in gratitude that really matters. Gratitude that does not waver. It is gratitude that does not depend on us getting or not getting what we want, but produces deep gratitude, the kind of gratitude that is a way of life, not just polite pleasantries. In essence, this deep gratitude is an ethic, a moral principle for how to live. It is God's promise to be with us always. So you see, God's promise is not that all hell will not break loose. For God tells us that it will. And maybe some of you think that we are seeing some of that unraveling even today. But no. The promise is that God will be with us always. It's hard to imagine that with all the lights that come out at this time of the year, we could be at risk for going blind. But that's a real possibility, depending on where and how we look. If we look to the perfect gift, get together, or getaway for meaning and happiness, we're likely to be disappointed. For it's gratitude based on God's promise that opens our eyes and keeps them focused. It's the reality of God's promise that keeps us from being blinded by the shallow promises of consumerism and worldly pursuits. If we can allow ourselves to trust in God's promise, we can be grateful for what will be before it even is. So let me tell you this story. A story about myself and believing in a promise that I made. For several years, I toyed with the idea of getting a basset hound. Basset hounds, do I have you with me? A basset hound, okay. Toyed with the idea of getting a basset hound. I love basset hounds. But did I have the time and the energy for a basset hound? I thought about it for a long time, weighing the pros and cons. Basset hounds were on and off my radar. But let me tell you this. Once I made up my mind to get a basset hound, once I made that promise to myself that I was indeed getting a basset hound, the strangest thing happened. All of a sudden, I began seeing basset hounds everywhere. On my way to work, Basset Hounds. Walking in the park, more Basset Hounds. Everywhere. It was raining Basset Hounds. Who knew? Who could have imagined there were so many Basset Hounds in Denver and the suburbs? And with each sighting, my heart was filled with joy and gratitude because I believed my Basset Hound was coming. Chester, my Basset Hound, existed in my heart and mind even before I found him, because I believed the promise I had made to myself that a Basset Hound was indeed coming into my world. In the Jeremiah passage that Cherie read, we heard that Christ was real since before the beginning with God, but not yet flesh. But like my Basset Hound, the promise was made that Jesus was indeed coming into the world. You see, our vision changes as we are tuned to God's promises. We can begin to see what really is because of the promise of what is yet to be. So again, the promise helps tune our eyes and ears and experiences to the actual coming and sets our hearts blazing with joy and gratitude. When we believe the promise of the coming Messiah, we begin to see Jesus already come all around us and yet to come. We can be grateful for what was, what is, and what is yet to be. In this season that sometimes looks like consumerism is taking over the reason for the season, we can calmly and confidently see all the ways that God is truly active all over the world. Diana Butler Bath, in her book, Grateful, writes, "Gratitude is what Moses taught, what the prophets proclaimed, what Jesus practiced. Gratitude is a habit of awareness that reshapes the moral choices we make in the world. In short, gratitude is an ethic, a coherent set of principles and practices related to grace, gifts, and giving that guide our lives." If you Google gratitude or attitude of gratitude, if you Google that, you'll get a lot of information about how to be more grateful. Some of us have done this over the years. You know, you keep a journal writing down every day things you're grateful for. Other suggestions, volunteer, do something for someone else. Even the renowned business magazine Forbes suggests, don't be picky. Appreciate everything and find gratitude in your challenges. And of course, you already guessed it, there's lots and lots of research showing that greater gratitude equates with greater health. And then, just because I was curious, Rick knows how curious I am, and just because I was curious, I Googled, where does gratitude come from? come from? Well, what do you think I got? Just a few sites giving me the etymology, the origin of the word. Not helpful. So where do you think an attitude of gratitude comes from? Did you learn it growing up? Do you think that's it? You know, we're taught to say please and thank you. Does it come from the society pressures to be polite and civil? I think that accounts for a superficial level of gratitude. What Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he referred to cheap grace, might call cheap gratitude. Just enough expression of thankfulness and appreciation to be moderately successful members of society. But as I see it, and as Jeremiah and Jesus tell it, real gratitude, gratitude that stands up regardless of what's going on inside and outside of us, comes nowhere else but from our relationship with God, from God's promise to us, the promise to be with us always, and ultimately for us to be with God. We can go through the motions of Advent, this time of preparing for Christmas. We've done it so often before, no doubt. We could do it in our sleep. But having heard and believed the promises of that first coming, we begin to see Jesus already coming, the promise that he is always with us in sightings all around us. What if we not only celebrate Jesus' first coming and his presence with us now, but we begin to anticipate his second coming? Do we really want to take a chance on sleeping through the second coming? I am confident. When I look at all your faces, I am confident and more than confident that there will be many sightings this season of God's continual work in you, in your families, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in this world. I am confident that if you and I will see with the eyes of the promise of God with us always, we will have an Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany like none other yet. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for your promise and the reality of you with us always. May it be our beacon for seeing your work in the world. May our attitude of gratitude be grounded in your grace. Renew us in hope that we may stay alert to the flourishing of Christ's advent among us. God of promise, God of hope, God of gratitude, come. We pledge to journey with you. Amen.